This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Corey O'Connor in studio. Corey, a very familiar name, certainly in Pittsburgh. His father was the mayor of the city, and now he would like to be. Spent 11 years on city council and 3 years as the Allegheny County Comptroller. And welcome, Corey.
No, thanks for having me.
You're certainly no stranger to us. I knew your father and family over the years. So you want to be the mayor?
Yeah, I mean, I think Pittsburgh deserves better right now, and we are managing a decline instead of talking about growth and opportunity. And I just think the experience you just mentioned, you know, I think day one we can go in and start turning Pittsburgh around. And I think, you know, we have to get back on track. We have to talk about growth. We have to talk about jobs. We have to talk about opportunity. We have to talk about building housing, especially more affordable housing. And we also have to be transparent. And I think that's what I've been seeing a lot on the campaign trail is where's the transparency? Transparency with our budget, transparency with numbers that just float out there. And there's a lot of major issues, and you know, I'm sure we'll talk about public safety, and that's another one that we hear on the campaign trail.
There is an elephant in the room. We'll get to that in just a moment because I do want to address the issue of race. Before we do that, explain, and people might not know, what a comptroller does. So you are the comptroller of Allegheny County. What is that job entail now?
Yeah, no, a lot of people always ask that. So we actually have 92 employees. We do all of the payroll for the county. We actually do all of the pay. We pay all of the poll workers as well. That's a hectic week for us. We have an auditing division that does audits. We've done audits on the Clean Air Fund. We've done audits on the jail. We've done audits on homelessness. We also have an accounting division that does all the accounting in the county. And the one division nobody really talks about, we actually have a construction division. Somebody says, well, why do you have a construction division in the comptroller's office? And that's because when somebody gets county dollars or they're building something on a county bridge or a county facility,
you have to track it.
We track it, but we also make sure that it's done properly. So if somebody were pouring concrete and it was supposed to be, you know, 3 feet deep and they only did 2.5, we make them go out and do the project over again. Those are taxpayer dollars. We have to make sure that it's being spent appropriately. And we've saved the county hundreds of thousands of dollars just in the couple years I've been there.
And as your councilman role with the city, obviously with 11 years experience there, you've kind of seen the yin and the yang of city county.
Yes. I mean, I think I've seen, you know, the 11 years experience on council, you see what changes you would make right away, you know, streamlining processes so that people get permits faster. I think the one thing that frustrated me so much this summer is we couldn't even turn water fountains on in our playgrounds. You know, it's 90 degrees outside and kids can't get water.
Why?
The city said they had one plumber. again, okay, you have one plumber. Figure out the solution. It's never happened in the history of Pittsburgh. And then last year, we couldn't turn on water fountains. And it's those basic necessities that people need. And that's what basic local government is providing services to our residents. And right now, we're not providing them. And I think seeing what I saw for 11 years on council, being able to point out deficiencies in local government, now being the county controller, you can come in and really stretch every tax dollar so that we get more bang for our buck and people get services they desperately need.
All right. The elephant in the room today is, as of last night and through the day yesterday, came to light a mailer that people received around the city, and it showed this dilapidated house, and you've seen it, and the suggestion is, this is a racist tactic, and the people behind this mailer, Common Sense Change Action. So who are these people, and do you know them?
No, it's not my campaign. Didn't come from my office, didn't come from my campaign staff. Saw it in the mail like others did. And again, you know, we've put out statements to the media. You've known me for a very long time. The mayor's known me for 30 plus years as well. You know, I've always denounced hate speech in all its forms. You know, I think politics has gotten too far over the top on a lot of these things, and we have to come back and focus on reality and, you know, toning down the rhetoric of all types. And that's why, you know, I've always denounced things like this. I think we have to focus on the issues that matter to Pittsburghers right now. And Larry, you know, you've known me and my family for probably my whole entire life. You know, it doesn't get any more diverse around a table than my own family. My dad used to call us the Rainbow Coalition.
Well,
yeah, I mean, we had, growing up, you know, mother was Jewish, father was Catholic. They actually had to elope to West Virginia to get married because when they got married, you know, two different religions wasn't allowed and was frowned upon.
And you have a brother that's a Catholic priest.
My brother's a Catholic priest. Uncle's a rabbi. You know, my sister has children that are African-American. So my three nieces are African-American. I have a great niece who's going to turn one this week. Shout out to baby Chacha, and who moved to Texas, unfortunately. African-American. So, you know, around my own dinner table, heard stories and backgrounds and had people coming in and out to talk about diverse issues that hit every part of our community. And I think that's what helped my dad lead as a councilman and a mayor. And I think it's what's guided me the entire career that I've had on city and state and county government.
So the photograph is this, as I mentioned, a dilapidated home, and it says the Ed Gainey legacy, and then it goes on to talk about money spent, but you don't have any direct connection to the people who sent this out.
No, these are outside groups. And, you know, as I said, I've denounced all hate speech, especially in politics. It's getting too much. I mean, look at what happened with Governor Shapiro's house the other day. When rhetoric gets to that point, you know, the anti-Semitism that occurred there, but also these outside groups, we have no coordination. We don't talk to them. I don't see them. I don't have any coordination with any mailer that would come from a group like that, whether it's a mailer or on television. Not part of our campaign. Look at the lit and look at the TV that my campaign has put forward. It's about a vision for Pittsburgh, and it's about what we need to do to change our city. Now, I can't say the same for the mayor, who your own network reported he and his outside pack are working together. Him and working families who are on his actual payroll. If you wanted to get, and there's emails about this, if you wanted to coordinate a meeting with the mayor, you had to go through working families. That's against the law. You cannot coordinate with your outside agencies, and you guys reported it just last week. And not only that, the Working Families Party was basically on his payroll, running his campaign throughout this process. You know, somebody needs to investigate that. That is coercion with your outside C4 and independent expenditure. You are not allowed to do that by election law, and yet the mayor's been doing it the entire time.
You realize what you're saying. Who would be the person to do that investigation?
Well, I mean, if Andy's still around, Andy can do it.
But there's
ethics forms, you know, there's state violations, there's things like that. But, you know, when it comes to this, you know, filing things like that, talking about it, I think it's definitely worth it. We have to be transparent in elections now. And when your outside PAC is on your mailer, is coordinating your meetings, you know, there's only a limit that a PAC can give you. It's $5,000. So once you've given that $5,000, anything else additional in kind, it should not be in kind. And we also know from his last couple of releases of his finance, those individuals aren't getting paid, but they're running his campaign. How does that work?
They're saying you will not denounce this mailer, though, even though it didn't come directly from you.
I can say it again. You know, it's not my mailer. It's not from me. I just told you, as I've told everybody, I denounce all hate speech and politics. It's getting way too out of control. We have to focus on issues like the budget, like why we can't pay our police overtime. You know, all of those things that matter to Pittsburghers each and every day, and we have to focus on those things. But yes, I've denounced hate speech of all forms in politics. Let's get back to the focus of what Pittsburghers are talking about.
We're going to talk about finance. We're going to talk about crime, jobs, affordable housing, coming up with Corey O'Connor in studio, PJ Fitz, Ed Gainey. And for all intents and purposes in this town, based on the history, the primary is basically the election, as you're acutely aware, Corey. So let's talk about the issues. One of those is financing, or the finances of the city. Mayor Ed Gainey said in his most recent conversation with you, they have a $4 million surplus in the city. As a controller, you track money. True?
No, I mean, I think the smoke and mirrors of this budget is alarming to a lot of Pittsburghers. If you look at it and you have a $4 million surplus, well, we know you've tapped into your reserves and your fund balance to even get that $4 million. The actual question should be, your projection showed a $28 million surplus. How'd you only end up with four? Where's the money going? And what a lot of people don't realize is we're taking on not only the debt that we know they're extending, but the new debt that's coming after the COVID money runs out. He went out and hired 100 additional employees. That could be anywhere from $12 to $15 million. And that money is now gone next year. It's COVID money. Other cities went out and used that money to invest in neighborhoods, to invest in ambulances, to invest in things that actually make a difference. We went out and hired 100 political friends. The problem with that is who's going to pay those 100 political friends next year when that money is gone? The other fun thing that they always talk about is, you know, our AA rating on bonds. Well, AA ratings just mean you are willing to do anything to either raise people's taxes or cut major projects so you could pay a bond back. AA ratings and bond ratings, they don't plow our streets. They don't get ambulances that actually work. They don't fill in potholes. Then when was the last time you went driving down the street, ran into a pothole and said, oh, don't worry, the city has a AA rating? Nobody does that because it's all smoke and mirrors. Let's talk about what's actually happening and then go even further. Then the first quarter was just reported that their overtime for police and public works is already ran out. So how are you going to pay these individuals the rest of the year? You're going to tap into your savings yet again.
And you say there is an overtime crisis. How would you handle that with the police? Because it's been challenging to recruit and maintain a full police force.
Well, I mean, when you look at the police force, and you guys cover March Madness all the time, you know, the last chief, he did a great job during March Madness. You know, I mean, that's the kind of administration you're dealing with. You are on your fifth chief of police in 3 years. And the mayor always says, well, nobody asked me about the chief of police. Well, no, because you don't have one. Who are we going to ask about? You've had part-time chiefs of police throughout your administration. That shows lack of leadership. It shows lack of a vision. It also shows lack of support for our officers that are already here. If I'm an officer right now, am I working 12-hour shifts, 8-hour shifts? When am I going to work overtime? What stats are we following to see what our hours are, where I should be deployed? There's none of that right now because you don't have a chief of police.
Mayor Gainey says the job creation in the city is seeing a 19% growth.
Again, I think he's using numbers throughout a decade. But if you look at the last Fed report, it showed that Pittsburgh was second worst in unemployment behind San Francisco. You know, we could be under 300,000 people the next census that comes out. Where are we growing these jobs? Where are they all located? It's the same thing that he says about affordable housing, and I'm sure you're going to ask me about that. But be transparent. What companies are locating here? We have empty space all over Pittsburgh. That should be used for entrepreneurs to grow out our small businesses, to grow out our startups. And yet there's no plan to do that. We just saw yesterday another downtown company is moving their offices. You know, it's all these things. We're down, I think it's 20 to 25% of office space is down again this year. Now, what are we doing with this empty space? It's time to get creative, and there's no plan or vision coming from the administration right now.
Homicide rates are down. The mayor's pointed out safety downtown has improved, but the challenges with the police force continue. What would you do differently?
I think I just said it. First, you hire a chief. I mean, hiring a chief of police is a big process, and you don't have to do a national search and waste taxpayers' money. You know, you have to have somebody that has knowledge of the city of Pittsburgh so that he or she can start right away, because we've gone 5 or 3.5 years without an actual chief of police. And then, you talk about crime. We know the crime in a number of areas is up. Look at the car break-ins last year alone. We were almost at 1,000 car break-ins. That's property damage. You know, we have vandalism is on a rise. We have burglaries on a rise. You know, arson in a couple of neighborhoods was up. You know, all of these things grow to show you that they're not being transparent about the actual numbers being reported and what they're actually putting out there.
All right. The mayor has suggested that you are taking big MAGA money, $160,000. You met secretly at the Duquesne Club with MAGA people. How do you respond?
I mean, we know it's a joke. We know that he's having somebody from Washington, D.C. tell him what to say, because his campaign is desperate at this point to talk about actual issues and facts that we're talking about here. He knows it's not true. The Republican money that he continues to get, by the way, he continues to take money from people that have given to Donald Trump, Doug Mastriano, and other MAGA candidates over the past few years. He continues to take it. Look at his reports. And then he mentions a meeting. I go to meetings and speak in front of people all the time. The meeting he's referring to, there were 30-something people in that room. There were business owners from across the city, small and large. I spoke, I told them about my vision for Pittsburgh, and I left the room. You know, this email that's going around, my campaign coordinated nothing of any of this kind.
So no secret meetings.
There's no secret meetings. I'm as transparent as they come. I go and I speak to people. Larry, you've emceed hundreds of events. You speak in front of a group. You couldn't tell me the person in the back seat is a Democrat or a Republican. And to me, when you're asked to talk to business owners, small businesses, and I do know there were Democrats in that room that I spoke to. I talked about my issues and my vision for Pittsburgh, and I left. The scary thing is that the mayor continues to take MAGA dollars throughout this campaign, but yet he vowed to not receive any. We know that's a lie. He's received 23% of his donors, 23% of his money in January, all came from those people.
Coming up, I want to ask you about the nonprofits. That's a big issue here in this town, and affordable housing, too. We're with Corey O'Connor on the KDK Morning Show. This is the Big K Morning Show. We continue our conversation with Corey O'Connor, who is the Allegheny County Controller and spent 11 years prior to that. Pittsburgh City Council wants to be the next mayor. One of the issues that we've heard time and time again, Corey, is about the nonprofits, maybe finding ways for them to contribute more at a time when the city needs it. And we also know that Mayor Ed Gainey has had a difficult time having those conversations with UPMC and all the at least larger nonprofits. How do you feel about those nonprofits finding a way to contribute?
I mean, I'm confident that we can do it. There was $100 million on the table under the prior administration. It was for an outside organization, but there was $100 million there for housing, for green infrastructure, for, you know, basic needs of a city, and this mayor turned it down. He also claims that they can't meet. You're all within the same city. You know, at some point, all major nonprofits have to come into a room and you talk it out and you figure out the problem for Pittsburghers, because we don't have money to even operate as you see these budgets. But for me, it's going to the larger nonprofits and being specific with an ask. You know, are we going to win a court battle? You know, who knows? That's still going on. But ultimately, you know, for me, it's going with a specific ask. So let's take the hospitals, for example. I need new ambulances as mayor. The city of Pittsburgh's ambulance fleet right now are breaking down to and from calls. We had somebody last Friday, cardiac arrest call, ambulance broke down. Their mission is to save lives. Why can we not be reasonable and say, hey, you know what would be helpful? Spend $10 million on purchasing ambulances for the city over the next couple of years. And, you know, obviously we'd be more specific than me. I'm just being general right now. But the reality of that is, now that has saved me $10 million of my capital that I can invest in small business districts, in neighborhoods, in potholes, in playgrounds and parks. And it's the same with the universities. How do you justify, if you're a university, giving money to the city without that going to a specific mission? Oh, your son's tuition's $40,000, and you know, next year we're going to make it $42,000 because the city needs $3 million from our major universities to go into filling our gaps. That's not being transparent. That's not using the money to better the entire city of Pittsburgh. But if you go to the universities and say, you know what's important to you? Connections. And, you know, your students use our bike trails and they use our parks and recreation spaces. Let's take that $3 million, invest it back into those specifics. And then that's now freed up $3 million more for me as mayor to spend on capital to improving people's lives across Pittsburgh. You have to be specific and have a vision for where that money's going to go so you get the most bang out of that buck.
I've heard from UPMC insiders say, hey, we're willing to participate, but we want everybody that's a stakeholder to do the same, the nonprofits.
And I, you know, that's, I don't know what's been said between them and the mayor, but you could just see that there's money being left on the table because there's no vision of where that money's going to go. And for me, it can't just go into the city coffers to fill our debt. That's not fair to the residents of Pittsburgh. You know, these are large nonprofits, and that money should go to better everybody in this region, not just to fill in my gap because this current mayor hired 100 employees that he shouldn't have because we don't have money to pay them because COVID money is gone. You know, you really have to plan where your money's going to go and how you build a city of the future. And right now, we're not doing that.
The mayor said he has helped create 1,600 new units of affordable housing in the city. You know, the affordable housing in every neighborhood in the city is important. He says you're tied in with the developers. That's why they want you as mayor.
Again, he's taken money from, he continues to take money from developers in this city. Look at his last reports. He continues to take that money. But let's get back to his 1,600 new units. A month ago on one of his flyers or one of his statements, he had 3,000 units. Then it was down to 2,000. And now if you actually look at his own tracker, he's only built a couple hundred units. So why are we not being transparent? This is not a game we should be playing with people's lives. People need housing. And yet you're throwing out statements that, well, these might be in the pipeline in 5 years. And this one has some money, but it doesn't have all money. You know, and we preserved 800. Well, what's your actual number? You don't have facts. You're just lying to try to get reelected. The reality is he cannot produce in his administration 1,600 new units. And he said new units. You heard him say new units. Now it's changing course to, well, these are preserved and these are in the pipeline and some of them have money now. That's not what you do as a leader of our city. We need housing. We need about 6,000 affordable units. And regardless of what he's going to say about 1,600 and 3,000, even if you look at their own numbers, their goal is to build 1,000 units a year in Pittsburgh, and he's telling developers that he wants 10% affordable. That means you're only building 100 units of affordable housing. That's not enough. You know, right now, we are growing and building units way less than Cleveland. We are at the same sort of momentum point as Harrisburg. You know, when was the last time Pittsburgh compared themselves to Harrisburg when it comes to building housing? That's not right. We need units, and we need them fast. And, you know, he wants to criticize me. The chair of my campaign is an affordable housing developer. He supports me because he and I were in at that point, we were getting so much blowback about building affordable housing in Squirrel Hill, and we ended up doing the project. And it's the gateway to Squirrel Hill, because I believe you can have affordable housing all over this city. You just can't come out with stats that don't mean anything.
In our last couple of minutes, we're with Corey O'Connor. What is your vision of the future of the city of Pittsburgh? Why do you want to be mayor?
Yeah, I want to be mayor because I think now is the time where we can start having a growth conversation and bringing everybody to the table. When you talk about affordable housing, the city has 11,000 vacant lots. Why are we not focusing more on cleaning out deeds, cleaning out titles, you know, demoing those sites so that they are shovel ready, so that communities can start rebuilding their own neighborhoods and empowering themselves to do it? And a lot of it comes down to site acquisition and all the money that leads into even getting a site and then making sure it's shovel ready. That's where the city can really invest. And I think, you know, when it comes to the ability to rebuild, you know, what I think is America, one of America's greatest cities, our Pittsburgh, you know, it starts right now. And I think building a coalition around a message of opportunity and growth and transparency will bring a lot of people to the table to see Pittsburgh and get it back on the right track. And I think that's what we have to start recruiting. We have to start telling a new story about Pittsburgh. And the one thing that we know is coming up is the NFL draft. And, you know, we know you're at all the games, but you know that every commercial cuts to the same message about Pittsburgh. Oh, here's an old steel mill. Here's the, you know, let's change that narrative. Let's change it to young entrepreneurs who have started businesses. Let's talk about young families who have moved here. Let's even talk about the immigrant population in the South Hills that last year created 40 new businesses. That's Pittsburgh now. We have to start selling it in a new energetic way, and we're not doing that right now.
Corey O'Connor, appreciate your time today. We're going to get together with Ed Gainey a couple of weeks before the election, and actually we are 5 weeks away today from May 20th in the primary, and appreciate your willingness to come in and answer the questions.
No, thank you for having me.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.